We're talking about a healthy church, and how many of you know that? Let me just say this first. The word that was given, how many of you can say and know that? See, because I was praying, Lord, speak to us. Lord, help us to receive what you're saying. How many of y'all know Shannon wasn't talking about a physical house? She wasn't talking about, you know, some of you probably building a house somewhere or want to build a house somewhere. She wasn't talking about, God wasn't talking about a physical house. He's talking about a spiritual house. That whatever comes our way, we remain upright because our foundation is in Jesus. Our foundation is in him. And there are a lot of people, they're living their life and their foundation is not in Christ. So when things come up, they look at the storm, they look at the problems, and not once put their eyes on Christ. And that is a very dangerous place to be, because even in the word was shared of a parable of a man who built his house on the sand and a man who built his house on the rock. That's who we ought to be. We build our house, our spiritual house, on the rock, who is Jesus Christ, the rock, the rock of God. And so that is who we ought to build our life in and on. And so I just wanted to share that. But today we're talking about a healthy church. And how many of you know that to have a healthy spiritual life is more important than a physical one? Because my physical body is going to be gone, Jack. One day it's going to be gone, and I'm going to have a new spiritual body. I'm going to have a body that wrinkles I'm not going to have to worry about. Losing hair I'm not going to have to worry about. So love handles I'm not going to have to worry about. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to be given a new body, a spiritual one, an incorruptible one. Well, last week I went to visit my VA doctor. I was the one time out of the year I go to the doctor. And when I arrived, I told the doctor, I said, "Listen, doc, I'm a preacher, and I'm going to be. We're talking about healthy church and healthy spiritual lives. And let me just ask you this question. I come in, and your nurse, she tells me to stand on the scale, and she puts something around my arm, and she puts something on my finger, and she puts the thermometer in my tongue, and she takes these, you know, these numbers, and she writes them down. And I know they're called vitals, but in layman's term, what is the importance of taking my vitals?" And she said, "Well, in layman's terms, it's to know what's going on in the inside of your body. This gives us an idea, a glimpse of what's going on in your body." And so, thank God, I'm just thankful to the Lord. I'm able to share with you that my blood pressure is ideal. It's great. My bad cholesterol, my good cholesterol, the numbers are great. And I'm thinking, just by putting that thing around my arm and putting that thing on my... No, it's because I had to go do some blood work before this visit. And again, what was taken from the inside of my body gives these doctors, as they do the tests on all the blood and stuff, it gives them the ability to come up with these numbers. And this numbers, there's a chart, there's a standard, quote unquote, standard. They go by this chart and they are able to tell me that either I am very healthy, I'm okay, I need to stop eating, get some exercise, or I need to take you to the hospital because you're about to die. And so they go by these numbers. And so I'm just thankful to the Lord that I have this, I'm in great health, I'm in good health, she says, for my age. And I'm thinking, all right, for my age. Joe, can you put the second slide? Because the first one was about Bahamas. But, you know, if you've ever been to the hospital and you got hooked up to a machine, you saw these weird lines and you heard these beeps. And, you know, after about 2 hours or whatever, they kind of just, you know, fade off in the distance because you're not really paying attention. Our vitals give doctors a view of what's going on the inside of us. You see these numbers, although some of them I might be able to understand because it says 120 over 60 in red. I might be able to understand it, but all these other stuff and all those other numbers, it's gibberish to me. But it says something to our doctors. And we have to understand that what was taken out of me, what was taken out of you, the doctors use that with lab work and vitals and a standard, the standard chart, they're able to see what's going on the inside, your physical health. My prayer is that this month, as we're discussing healthy church, we're able to, as the Spirit is speaking, we're able to listen to what the Spirit is saying, and that he's able to tell us, hey, you're healthy. Or he's able to tell us, you're not so healthy. You got some things going on. You see, the doctor even told me that my kidneys are great. I'm thinking, you didn't even check my kidney. But the lab work. And so the Holy Spirit's going to reveal some stuff to us about our personal life. Because if I am not healthy, how can I equip the church? If you're not spiritually healthy, how can you invest or impact the lives of the people who live on the street, on the same street as you? So we have to be concerned with our spiritual health. Now, some people probably are not concerned. They can give a rip about their physical health. They'll eat whatever they want to eat. They'll run if they want to run. I'll run to the fridge if I want to. And some people don't care. Some people do. Some people do. There's not a Twinkie in the house. There is not any kind of sugary dessert in the house. And they go to so extreme. You know what? That's great. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. But what I'm saying is that there are people that are so focused on their physical health, yet they give no effort to worry about their spiritual health. And I'm telling you here today, your spiritual health is more important than your physical one. You will stand before God one day, and it's based on your spiritual health will determine where you'll go for all of eternity. It's based on how your relationship with Jesus Christ is vital and important, and most people care about their physical body. But I pray that through these sermons, that through this month, that we will begin to see the areas that we're not paying close attention to that we'll begin to pay close attention to, because it affects our spiritual health. And so God's Holy Spirit is inside of every believer. He has placed his spirit in every single one of us who calls upon his name and who calls him Abba Father. And the Holy Spirit, he's not defiled. He's not, you know, walking with a limp. The Holy Spirit will never be defiled. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. You don't have to stand for the reading of this word, but I'm going to ask you to stand here in a little bit. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Do not stifle with the Holy Spirit." New King James Version says, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit." That word quench also means extinguish the Holy Spirit. Does this mean that I'm stronger than the Holy Spirit? No. If you think you are, let me ask you this question. Have you ever raised someone up from the dead on your own power? No, I don't think so. So we're not stronger than the Holy Spirit. So how can we quench the Holy Spirit? How can we extinguish the Holy Spirit? Listen, the Holy Spirit won't strive with you. If you don't want to listen, if you don't want to seek him, if you don't want to understand, he's not going to reveal the things of God to you. But he'll reveal the things of God to those that are asking, to those that are diligently seeking, to those that are making themselves available. God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. God, speak to me, change my life. Holy Spirit will be glad to reveal God's truth to you. Holy Spirit will be glad to reveal and allow you to see the things that you're not able to see. So our spiritual health is just as important. So let's stand to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Believers in Christ begin their new life being healthy. So let's read Ephesians 2, verse 1. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." I like "who were." Praise the Lord, I was "who were." "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh." I was there. "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh." Yes, you were there too. "And of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God," thank you, Father. "But God, who is rich in mercy," thank you, Father, "because his great love," thank you, Father, "which he loved us," thank you, Father, "even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." I'm going to read that again. "Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal God's truth to us today. Help us to see our spiritual vitals. Help us to see the areas where it's not so healthy. Help us to see the areas that we need to be concerned with. Father, I thank you for your word today. Reveal your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Faith living according to God's word, not according to feeling. Now, you don't have to raise your hand because I don't want to, you know, I'm not here to embarrass you. But how many of you woke up this morning, you weren't really feeling about getting up? You weren't really feeling like getting up. You weren't really feeling like, you know what? This bed's got me captive and it feels so good. Feels so good. Living, faith living is not according to our feelings. It's according to God's word, what God says. Because of who is saying what we're supposed to do. It's because of who is saying how we're to live our life. It is God who says it. And it brings evidence that our spiritual life is flowing according to, remember I mentioned the numbers that the doctors got because of, you know, my blood pressure. And Caleb, you can come on now. I didn't forget you. All right, come on out, doctor. All right, Dr. Caleb. So Dr. Caleb, because of, you're going to put this thing around my arm. And he's not going to turn the machine on, but just for prop. And he's checking these numbers. These numbers, I even went on WebMD, everybody, to check. There is a standard, and it's a chart. And according to, for men and women, it's a little different. And the ages, it varies. And the thing is that this standard, this chart, will tell the doctor if I have high blood pressure or low blood pressure, if I'm alive or if I'm dead. He can tell by these numbers. Our spiritual living, there are vital signs. And the Holy Spirit is able to look to the standard, the living word, and is able to reveal to you, to me, the areas in our life. Look, you are too prideful. Look, you flip off and your fuse is too short. It needs to be lengthened. Look, you are so impatient. You need to let me teach you patience. Look, you keep looking to everything, and here I am. Like Shen was saying, I am your foundation. Quit looking at the storm. Look to me. And a lot of times we could say, easier said than done. But if you practice it, and if you live by it every day, it easier it becomes. Now, God forbid the Lord tells me to start eating Brussels sprouts. But if the doctor tells me that Brussels sprouts is the way that I will be able to live and live long and healthy, I'm going to have to learn to eat like and eat Brussels sprouts. Yes, right? Thank you, Caleb. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. This is the problem. Oh, Jim lucked out. Jacob, come on up here real quick. Go ahead and just take that and just put that anywhere on your hand or your arm so everybody can see. The hairy spot on your arm. This is the problem that people do is that when we have something that is real deep, we don't use, you know, it's camo. Show everybody.
Okay, I see you now.
Yeah, yeah. When there's a deep wound, that is not the thing that we're supposed to use. If it's a deep wound. But a lot of times, when the Spirit reveals certain things, and I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit already revealed some things to you this morning. But you know what you do? You end up going to your medicine cabinet, so to speak, and you put on a Band-Aid, and the Band-Aid ain't going to help the deep wound. The Band-Aid's not going to help the deep things that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. But this is what you do. And then, because you really see that it doesn't really do anything, then you reach out for a bandage, and you just start, go ahead and just wrap that around. And this is a problem that happens in the family, whether it's a child and a parent, or a spouse with a spouse. And you try to fix something that's deep inside with something on the outside. You try to fix a spiritual problem physically, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You're not going to be able to say, I am spiritually healthy by trying to fix something spiritual with something physical like this bandage. All right, you can wear it. Thank you. You may be seeing it. You're not going to be able to. Yes, a round of applause for my helper here. You're not going to be able to. And so we're living this life, this spiritual life with Christ. He's the one that started it. And when I became a new believer in Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, on that day, I got a new heartbeat, spiritual heart. I had new blood flowing through me. I was no longer the same. Did you find? Did you see where in verse 1, Ephesians 2, it says, and you he made, God made alive. who were dead in trespasses and sin. We all were there living in sin, and sin will lead you to death. That which was dead has come to life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when I became new, I'm telling you, when I became new, I was healthy. Because the spirit that God placed inside of me was not deformed, was not defiled, was not crooked. And what I had a new life. I bought some, I'm not wearing them, but I bought some white shoes because I just wanted to have some white. I was looking at just different brands. And I'm like, Lord, I don't care what name brands. And then, of course, Shannon and the kids bought it for me for Father's Day and some white shoes. I don't wear them often. Why? Because I want to keep them white. But you know what? I'm not going to keep them things just like the same day I put them on, the very first day I put them on. They're going to get a little stain. They're going to get a little mud or dirt or whatever on the sides. And I'm going to go ahead and try to clean it, and just try to. We try to do this. We try to do physical things, try to keep things clean. But they, when the Spirit reveals the deep things that God is wanting us to change or that God wants us to surrender, some of the things that we do on the outside is just not going to work. He's given us a new spiritual life. Some people, as I mentioned earlier, have a physical body where they pursue to do whatever they can to have a strong, healthy physical life. And some, not really, but they don't look at the inside. They don't look at what is more important, which is the spiritual. Matthew 23, Jesus called certain Jews whitewashed sepulchers. He said that these Jews knew the law. They should have known that the Messiah was coming, but they were not looking at the Messiah. They were not looking at Jesus. So they were whitewashed sepulchers. All they cared about was on the outside. And Jesus says, you're full of dead men bones. Sad that there are Christians today who are whitewashed sepulchers, all just they're worried about the outside. They're not surrendering their heart. They're, like Shannon was saying, their foundation is not in Jesus Christ. It's their own thing. It's their own stuff. It's their own way of living. And they become people who look clean and happy on the outside. I love you. I love you. But they're full of dead men bones. That still happens today. So therefore, we must maintain spiritual health. And that is our priority. So my first point was that believers begin their new life living healthy because the Spirit of the living God has been given to us, and we who were dead in trespasses and sins, we have been made alive in Christ. Go to my next slide, slide four. There you go. There you go. Walk not how you used to, but how you need to. This is something that every believer needs to put into practice. I can't walk how I used to. I can't walk and live the things that I used to. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, all things become new. So I need to begin to walk how I need to. And how am I going to know how I need to? Well, let's go back to verses 2 through 5. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust. Now I just want to drop down to verse 4, the great verse. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. With Christ. He is our standard. He is our standard, and he is who we live with and live by and live in. Because grace, you have been saved. The next slide. In this chart, like I mentioned earlier, that there are different ages. Now, it says here, for those of you who can't read, I'm 45. So it says average is 127.84. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not even going to try to act like I know what I'm talking about. But anyway, that's your blood pressure. And then for the minimum to be, somewhat healthy and in good standing, 115/80. And then for the maximum is 139/88. My doctor said, I got it written down here, I have 136/79. And then I kind of started freaking out because I looked at some of these other charts, and 136/79 looked as if that was, high on high, stage one high hypertension. And I'm like, wait a minute, they messed up. But I was looking at the wrong chart. And so, but I fall in the middle of minimum and maximum. So I'm thankful to the Lord of this life that he's given me. But you know what? If I, which I've never eaten fatback, is that what it is, right? Yeah, I've never eaten that, something close to it. And so, but I've never, chitlins, I've never, but you know, I'm looking at Stacy because I know, you know, she knows what we understand. We're talking about chitlins. She loves them. I don't. But anyway, but if I just ate all this fatty foods and this, and I didn't eat healthy and I didn't exercise, which don't really do, but sometimes I do. I begin to have this life where physically I'm not healthy. And so the next time that I go to the doctor, they're going to say, what happened to you? You were healthy last year. What happened? You need to stop eating and start exercising. And so we must maintain because we have this priority, this responsibility that we have to maintain our spiritual health. You know, just because I just eat asparagus only, that's not going to make me healthy. Just because I run only, that's not going to make me healthy. But if I have a routine and I have healthy habits and I actually consume those healthy foods and actually have something called exercise in my life, then it produces a healthy life. We have to maintain our spiritual life. God gave you his Holy Spirit. And a lot of people, we tend to just do him like we do most Bibles. We just throw them on a shelf somewhere and they collect dust. And we consider because we have a Bible in the house, or maybe it was great-great-grandma's Bible, and it's just stored on a shelf somewhere. We never open it. We never study what's inside of it. Just because we have it, we're healthy. That it doesn't work that way. We have to maintain this spiritual, this spiritual health, this spiritual life that God has given us. For an example, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian believers. And he has this goal, but something is keeping him from achieving this goal. Verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." Notice those key words, still. You are not able. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm Paul, and another, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? Now, this is a great indication that Paul was eager to speak to them of some mysteries and deep things of God. But these people, they didn't understand it. And so like the word today that was given, God was really speaking to us today. And for those of you that know Shannon, Shannon doesn't, that's not Shannon. She just doesn't like to do that, but the Spirit is using her. And God is using her to speak something to the people of this church. Where is your foundation in? And as God is speaking to us today, your spiritual health, what are your spiritual vitals? Is it 50 over, you know, whatever, you know, that would be really weird. But I mean, is your spiritual blood pressure or your spiritual vitals in decay? And so it's important that we maintain this. So you and I must maintain spiritual life. But wait a minute, Pastor. That sounds like you're talking about that my spiritual life is all about works. That sounds like living a life of just spiritual works. What about grace, Pastor? You know, listen, if my life is about surrender and obedience to God and to his word because of who he is and my relationship with him, it's no longer by works, but it's a flow of my relationship and my love for him, my obedience and my surrender to him. Now it's because of my life with him. My faith is visible because I am surrendered to my God. I am learning about him. I'm learning of his love. I'm learning of his promises and who he is. And therefore, I'm learning about the Son. And therefore, I'm learning about my Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who pokes me and says, that's the wrong attitude. You're not supposed to have that attitude. Change it. And when I hear him say that, I have to change it. How many of us, we take a little while. Holy Spirit speaks something to us. Of our attitudes, of the words that we speak, or even just our thoughts. And we kind of just linger there a little bit. Although he tells us that we're supposed to change, he corrects us because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals us God's truth. And we stay there a little bit. I don't know why. Maybe so that we can, you know, just be mad a little bit longer. Just so that we can hold something against somebody just a little bit longer. It just feels good. And then the Holy Spirit reveals, and then we're broken. And then when we're broken, we realize we need to humble ourselves. We say, Father, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, help me to do better. Lord, I pray that my mind, my thoughts, my words, the meditation of my heart, God, I pray that it would be pleasing to you. And that is what we're supposed to do. And so in this relationship, my faith is visible to everyone because of my surrendered relationship to my God, my Savior, my Comforter. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It tells us how we are to live, how we are to walk in a righteous lifestyle, in a righteous life. It says in verse 12 of Romans 6, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. How are we supposed to live? That everything we do is instruments in righteousness to God, because that's who we're living for. So if you can picture a band and you're in this band and you may not be able to play anything, but you have this trumpet, you have this horn, you have the drums, you have something in your hand, and it is your life. How are you playing it? The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you today. How are you playing that instrument? You're playing it for the righteousness because your relationship with God, or are there times that you play that instrument for your own good, for your own desires and your own sinful lusts? Then if that's the case, begin to repent now. Begin to say, Father, forgive me. God, I pray that you'll forgive me. God, I know this attitude's wrong. I know this thought's wrong. I know that action was wrong. God, forgive me. This is how we change. This is just like eating a plate of, you know, of asparagus, or having a bowl of salad. And some of you are like, blah, salad. But if you do that, you begin to just a little small. It's one of many other healthy habits that you do so that you can have a healthy life. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and reveals our spiritual vitals, we are to repent. When we're broken, we realize the truth. We are to repent right then and there. And that is just like having a bowl of salad. That's just like having another helping of Brussels sprouts. That's just like going out for a long walk, or going out for a nice jog, or doing some yoga or Pilates. Just one of those things that none of us like to do. And yet, it's one of the things that we need to do if we're going to walk with God. So we have to maintain a healthy spiritual life. So in this verse, Romans 6, 12 through 13, we see that at one time sin reigned in our mortal body because the things that we were doing was out of sin, and it was in unrighteousness. But we are to present ourselves to God, being alive, remember, alive with Christ, alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So there is a way to live. Jesus is our standard. He is our righteousness. And practicing this way of life comes by surrender and humility. Next slide, please. Galatians 5:25. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Not walk by the feelings. Not walk by what someone did to us, so we're going to, give it back to them the same way. Healthy living isn't accomplished just by one serving of vegetables and that's it. It's implementing those things into our bodies and for our body to remain healthy and strong. Implementing the word, implementing repentance when the Holy Spirit convicts you. That is, and doing that on a daily occasion, that is what will create a healthy and strong spiritual life. Our righteous living is made up of a constant change from who we were to who God made us to be. How do we begin that? What do? Do we just carry the Bible, sleep with the Bible? Because as long as we keep the Word of God close to us, then we'll live righteous. That doesn't happen that way. We have to open it up. We have to study. We have to read. Well, here's just, you know, I just picked some three things of just basic things. First of all, you need to know that you are in a relationship with a loving, forgiving Father. Some people probably don't understand what that looks like. if you spend time in his word and spend time in his presence, he'll show you. He'll reveal, the Spirit will reveal a loving, forgiving Father. But you also have to know that he is also just, all-knowing, and all-powerful. That he's just, that he's not going to do anything crooked behind your back because he's in this for your good. That he's all-knowing, knowing that you can't pass one on him. How many of you ever thought you're going to pass one on God or God's not looking? He always looks. He always knows. And that he's powerful regardless of what you're going through. My God is well able. My God, there's nothing impossible for him. And establish and maintain these basics. What basics? Well, these basics are going to bring you to know him more. Prayer. What is prayer? It's communion. Talking to God. Some of you, you love to talk. I'm glad I didn't hear an amen. But some of you just love to talk. Talk to God. Some of you that don't love to talk, you keep everything in. That's not healthy. Talk to God. You want to have a venting session, get in your car and drive. Go to a park, just sit in there and just talk to God. Now, you may look, you know, weird because there's nobody in the car and someone walks by and you're just talking away or crying or yelling or whatever. And there's nobody in the car. You might look weird, but look weird for a good reason. You're talking to God. You're communicating with him. Pray to God. The next thing is grow in faith and wisdom. How do I grow in faith? Hearing the word of God. I will grow, my faith will grow by hearing and hearing the word of God. I will read it. I will study it. That is how I will grow in my faith and wisdom. And lastly, worship. Worship is not just singing. Worship is a daily surrender of your life, of your all to him. Now, I know there are moments that we don't surrender at all. There are moments that we don't surrender our days. We start our day with our feet hitting the ground and we take off with a cup of, coffee in our hand. I know those days are far and in between, but we must learn to worship and surrender all to him. It may be a struggle, just like if I was to say, Bob, we're going to go walking, we're going to go running, we're going to eat healthy, and Bob's going to be like, hey, you by yourself. I'm not meeting you. Exactly. See? But if we do it little, if we just get together and we do little by little, sooner or later, one of us or both of us will start feeling better about ourselves. We'll be able to feel a lot better. Why? Because we're doing something. The more you do the spiritual things that the Spirit is revealing for you to do, that he's tugging on your heart, you have to change, you have to put into practice, you have to do, come study, come sit with me a while. Listen, I got 4 books of journals in my office. And there's writings inside of them because of my time with the Lord. My times of writing things that I don't understand. I just don't understand this woman you gave me. No, I'm kidding. But just writing things down. Writing things down of my questions, of my concerns, of my prayers. Then writing down his answers, glory to God. Then writing down some things that the Spirit is revealing to me about what the Lord is showing me. In my life or in his word. So it didn't just happen because I have one book with one, you know, one line or one sentence. But I'm where I'm at today because of those 4 books that I'm talking with him. And it might seem like, Pastor, you're talking something that is just way too hard. Listen, if you just do one thing at a time. Just one step. God does not desire for you to look like anybody else but the person that he created for you to be. And he wants you to get there. And he knows it's a struggle for you. That's why he's not expecting you to be that person tomorrow. Woo! What a weight of, I mean, just a weight off my shoulders. God's not expecting me to be that person that who I'm supposed to be 30 years from now tomorrow. Because he knows me. He created me. And he's working with me. Some of you don't like working with other people. Think about God working, wanting to work with you. We do it slowly. And this is how we become spiritually healthy because of the small things that we're implementing according to the standard that we're supposed to live by, living in righteousness, that we're able because our God, in his divine ability, as long as we continue to follow him, will help us. He is well able to help us to become the men and women of God he desires for us to be that will bring him glory and honor. Lastly, Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. You see, our purpose for living in him, with him, for him, is to present our lives a living sacrifice. Listen, you may think, I don't know where your identity or some people have real low self-esteem of themselves. But God loves you that he sent his son to die for you. God loves you so much that he's willing to work with you. God loves you so much that there is a person he wants you to become. And he says, I'm here to help. I'm here to inspire you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to show you my truth. I'm here to help you. I'm sending my Holy Spirit to guide you, to be your comforter, to be your teacher. I'm here to help you so that we can present to him a living sacrifice. Romans 6:20, it says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. Now that word free in the King James, the Greek word, the Greek word for free is also unrestrained or exempt. So I'm going to read this again. For when you were slaves of sin, in death, dead, you were exempt from living a righteous life because you didn't really live in life. You were dead. You weren't alive. You couldn't live a righteous life. Verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin, thank you, Father, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, there was fruit to holiness that the believers in Corinth, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there was fruit that they were supposed to bear, and Paul wanted to bring something to them. But Paul says, I can't, because you're not there yet. You're still carnal. Ouch. You want to hear that from somebody? Hey, you know what? I have a deep word to share with. No, yeah, you're still carnal. Wow, that is like a slap in the face. But he's speaking truth. I wanted to share something with you, but you can't handle it right now. You're not ready. Is that my fault? It's your fault. We have to maintain the spiritual healthy life. And so when we read this, the fact that God has this fruit that we're supposed to bear, fruit to holiness, this is why our members, our instruments need to be used to bring righteousness because they're supposed to be used for God. So again, if it seems too much of a burden to live by bearing this fruit to holiness and living a spiritually healthy life, your focus is on the wrong person. You're focusing on you. Let me tell you, you can't do it on your own anyway, so stop looking at you. Look to the standard. Look to God. Look to Jesus. He's the one in his great divine ability is going to help us to apply this word, these instructions for righteous living. He's the one that's going to help us. So while I maintain my focus on God and my relationship with my loving Father, my surrender and obedience flows from that, and his Spirit reveals my spiritual vitals so that I can work on the things that I need to work on. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I must continue to maintain a living sacrifice. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what we have to present to God. And so I pray that you would allow this scripture. Just put the last slide. We're going to keep this slide up during the whole time of altar call. And I forgot. It's too small. Anyway, you know what? You'll be big enough for you when you come up to the altar. Allow this scripture to be your response to what God has already been saying today. Become aware of your spiritual health. What the Holy Spirit is saying. If he's saying something to you, which I believe he is, Father, forgive me. Lord, help me. God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was doing that. God, I didn't realize I was putting other things as a high priority in my life, and my spiritual health was not a priority. Father, forgive me. And then apply this prayer. Heavenly Father, I present myself to you as a living sacrifice, holy and dedicated to you. I choose not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of my mind through your word. May my life bring glory and honor to you.